Yeah. It's a big game. Who you know that got it behind the scenes like behind the O-line soon as the QB say hype? It's big game, big game, analysis from the player's point of view, injuries, big trades, player news. Yeah. Sack the competition and he play with Tony Dungy. Better listen, I'm talking about
Big Game Sports Buzz.
Said everything you need and more. Yeah.
Big Game Sports Buzz.
I thought I told you once before. We call him
Big Game James.
Yeah.
Big Game James. Big Game James.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another podcast episode of Big Game Sports Buzz, where the star athlete and the fanatic, sports fanatic, get together and talk about all things that are sports and everything around it. I am Jay Stoggs, the buff nerd. Let's go. And of course, I'm joined by the man, the myth, the legend. The reason why this podcast is called what it is, Big Game James. What up, dude?
Hey, what's happening, man?
What is going on? It's Super Bowl week, man.
Bro.
It's the week.
It's crazy, man. It's time. It's time. All the talk is over. And, hey, big shout out to UNLV for screwing up the practice field and having the San Francisco 49ers mad at you. Man, you know, that's what happens when you go to the number two. That's what happens when you go try to practice at the number two college in the state of Nevada. You get a lot of complaints and – and shit,
before
just
we go in, let's
go on your way.
Before we go all the way in, let's go ahead and exactly. Look, first of all, thank you for joining us on this podcast. Make sure that you like, subscribe, and share this podcast. Make sure you also ring the bell so you know when we have the great content coming to you. And we do have great content coming to you all week long. So make sure you do that. You can also stream us on your favorite podcast platform. We are there. So make sure you do that. Tell a friend, tell a family, tell a frenemy. We don't care. Look, hate makes you great. You know what I'm saying? Hate makes you great.
He's
pushing on that.
Tell a friend. You made me think of who wants to be a millionaire and phone a friend every time you say that. I don't know why.
Maybe because you just have frenemies, my dude. Hey, you know what? This week is going to be real fun. I mean, this podcast is going to be real fun. We got a lot of stuff going on that we have to talk about. Of course, like we talked about and said, it's Super Bowl week. Pro Bowl just happened. We're going to have, between the lines, we're going to have to talk about that, man.
Okay.
We're going to have to talk about that because, you know what? We'll talk about that there. Of course, you know, labor unions are going on as well. Some people are doing stupid things per the usual. And tonight's top five. Hey, this is a very hard top five. Top five tonight is top five Super Bowl moments of all time. Good night. There's so many. And that is the beginning to the end.
Gonna put that in five of all these. We on Super Bowl 58, and you want me to give you the top five Super Bowl moments?
Top five Super Bowl moments, man. Hey, look, that's why we do that here at Big Game Sports Buzz. Other people are weak, they're punks. You know what I'm saying? They soft. We not soft here. We don't play them booty games here. We don't play them booty games.
Never will he ever forget that. Ever.
No.
Never.
Let's go ahead. Let's get into it. You know what it is. Four downs. Hit the button.
I did.
That's right. This is Four Downs. This is the hottest. These are the hottest topics that are going on in the world of sports. First one that we have to talk about. Listen, the NIL has taken over the whole college sports scene. OK, Okay. So much so now that at Dartmouth in Ivy, what they have done is they have actually filed and have won in the court of law, right? The National Labor Relations Board regional official ruled on Monday, this past Monday, that Dartmouth basketball players are employees, get out of here, are employees of the school, clearing it away, for an election that would create the first labor union for NCAA players.
Dang.
You obviously played, right?
Yeah.
How big of a decision is this? Many schools in the past, many players in the past have tried this, but none have gotten this far.
You know, just when you think of unions and what they represent, and there's nothing bad about it, but that now you're seeing what the severity is of these amateur athletes getting paid. And so much so that they want to form something to protect themselves. And it's crazy. I could have never imagined going from practice to study hall to a union meeting. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't even sound right when I say it, but at the same time, if it's going to be out there, you know, the schools still make money, put together a union to help you make sure you get what you need to get. I don't know if it's going to get carried away. I don't know if every state's going to go for it. I don't know how private schools versus state schools, how it's going to be. It is just, it's a whole nother monster, Jay, to where it's making you study college rule books now. Like,
absolutely,
you should just be able to be a fan of the game. Now you have to be familiar with all these different rules because of what can and can't be done. And it's not a bad thing because you always got to continue to learn. But, bruh, I just want to watch some good college football, watch some good college basketball, especially towards the end of the year, getting ready for March Madness. I don't want to go read a 1,000-page dissertation about why labor unions are forming in college sports, bro. It's just, man.
Well, I think there's two things here, and I texted you this as I was actually reading this, was number one, the role of the coach, the head coach in football. And this may be a chop shop kind of deal, but do you feel like they're now more GMs than they are head coaches? That's the first question. And the second part of that is because of the NIL, and we talk about, you know, players and programs, but now can you even follow a player because they move so much in the portal?
I think it's hard to follow just one specific player at a school because, like you said, they can jump ship and leave somewhere else. But I also believe college sports, you fall in love with players at the institutions that you support. You know what I'm saying? Like, very rarely do you hear people saying, oh, I just like Quinn Ewers. It's like, no, I love University of Texas. Quinn Ewers is our quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like,
right.
But, Jay, the question that you pose now makes me think, will college football players start building up fan bases like NFL football players? Like, exactly. You like them. Now you can get their jersey. And if they leave Texas to go to Oregon, do you now follow that player to Oregon like so many sports fans do with their pro teams? It's a very interesting point to kind of see how that's going to play out along the lines. The general manager thing.
Yeah.
When you posed that to me, I was like, damn, never thought about it like this. But really they are. And in most situations, you don't have a GM in college to handle the business. You have athletic directors, but really that's just the scheduling and stuff. The personnel part comes from the coach and his staff as far as recruiting goes. So in a sense, the head coach has now become somewhat of a general manager because now you have to go out, coerce a kid to come to your school, but yet you got to figure out what kind of money, where he fits into your NIL budget. And how are you going to get him compared to, you know, what the other school is offering. So you do almost have to come with a contract prepared to try to pull them in because kids aren't just going where they always dreamed of playing anymore. The good ones are still going where they can demand a little bit of money. So it's crazy that a college coach kind of does take on that GM role now that you never would have thought of, you know, 10 years ago.
I think this also affects the high school kids a lot, and that's not actually being spoken about, because you have, especially in the NFL, I mean NFL in the football ranks, right? So a coach says, hey, why would I go get a high school kid when I can go and get a kid through the portal
that's
already in the system, that's right, already ready, and all they have to do is just learn the verbiage.
Right.
You know, so my question now is, what happens to that high school senior that's wanting to play for a particular school, but, you know, they can't go to Alabama, they can't go to Texas, they can't go to, you know, Penn or Ohio State or Oregon, because the position that they would have gone for, and they're, you know, let's say they're a four-star recruit, but hey, they already got somebody that's coming in that started in the SEC at that position.
Man.
So where does that kid go?
Well, the programs that benefit from it are the FCS program.
Mm.
You know, the North Dakota State, the South Dakota State, the Montanas. Mm-hmm. And then, because now what kids are doing, and what even some, you know, D1 coaches are telling kids, go get some film. And if we have something open up, we can come get you out the portal. You know, because like,
that's they, crazy. They're trying to figure
it out, because here it is. I have a son that's a high school sophomore, played varsity football, is very interested in playing college football. And we have to kind of rethink and refigure out the world of recruiting, because it's night and day. Like, And then my thing is, he's like, Dad, but I like this school, this school, and this school. I said, well, you're going to follow this school, this school, this school, and that school, because that's the thing. Say that the FBS, FCS subdivision school, that coach gets pulled up to a bigger job, but yet he recruited you, he liked your interaction the whole time. Now you might have a spot. I mean, you're marketing yourself, and you have to be open to everything. It's like, I can't be dead set on my son only going to one school and be like, hey, for the next four or 5 years, he's going to be here. Like, I got to be ready for something to change if he's blessed enough to even get a scholarship chance or opportunity. Or are we going to have to go smaller school and play our way up and hopefully, like, hey, man, let's go on the portal. I know some people that can get us something. This shit's crazy, bro.
And that's the part that's scary to me, is that it's again, reading the landscape that is quickly changing from what it was to what it is now, and saying that, daughter, you may have to go to a smaller school first, play your way up, get some film, get some tape, you know, in college, and then get into a portal to go to a school or a program that you wanted to, or you feel you can play at.
Right.
But man, it boggles the mind, because I just start thinking down the line of where this can go. But we definitely gonna have to get that on Chop Shop, man. That's a good one. Second down, man. This one is fun for me. I heard this and I said, yo, I've got to put this on BGSB. So lids, if you're not familiar with lids, lids sell hats as well as jerseys. Yes, there we go.
I got this one, lids.
There you go. It's very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. They just came out with their top 10 jerseys, that, you know, selling jerseys this year. Do you want to venture a guess at number one?
I think I know what it is, just because you picked this shit. I think I know. You're gonna say Dallas Cowboys.
No, particular. Who? Who?
A person?
Yeah.
Micah Parsons.
Ding, ding. There you go. That's number one. That is number one. Number two, do you happen to, you want to take a guess there?
Is it somebody off your squad again?
No. Okay. No, it is not.
Patrick Mahomes.
Ding, ding. There you go. You're good at this. You're good at this. Do you think you can get number three?
I got a guess in me. I don't know how close or how far off I'm gonna be, but well, I got a guess.
Go ahead.
Number three, I'm gonna say Lamar Jackson.
I'm sorry, sir. He is number eight.
Ooh.
He is number eight.
Oh, wait, hold on. Is Josh Allen number three?
No, sir. He's not even in the top 10.
Okay. Well, hey, go ahead and give me that number three for my guess. It better not be Brock Purdy.
It is not Brock Purdy.
Okay.
It is not. Number three is Jalen Hurts.
Really?
It was very surprising.
I was surprised by that one. I really.
Number three is Jalen Hurts. Number four, TJ Watt.
I can see that.
TJ Watt.
Just that position he plays, that defensive guy that people love. Yeah, I can see TJ Watt being up there.
Absolutely. Number five, this actually kind of surprised me, but, you know, for others, maybe not. Dak Prescott.
It doesn't surprise me because of the Cowboys fan base. And Cowboys fans are either going to have who they think is the best. It's going to be receiver, quarterback, or your best defensive player. Those top three jerseys. So Michael Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, and Dak Prescott jersey sales, I figure would be in the top 10 when you pick this top jersey sales thing.
So here's the thing. Those are the only two from the Cowboys that are in top 10. So CeeDee Lamb did not make it.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised because of the amount of Cowboys fans and the amount of Cowboys fans that like CeeDee Lamb.
Yes, you know that is very surprising, especially with 88. You know, that's a very special number, obviously.
The 88 Club.
The 88 Club. There you go. Number six, Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
Tyreek Hill comes in at number seven. Like I said, Lamar Jackson, number eight. Justin Jefferson coming in at number nine.
Hey, man, is Justin Jefferson cross-eyed?
Yes. I was trying to put it nice, but I can't. Yes, he is. I have to believe he is. That's probably why he can catch the ball so well. And then rounding out number 10. I don't know why you do that. You know what I'm going to say. Number 10. This one was very surprising to me. Do you want to give a guess? You just want to just go ahead and go in on it.
Nah, just go ahead and give it to me, man.
Number 10, the one and only douche Dodgers, Aaron Rodgers, comes in at number 10.
Why? Why did that surprise you? Because he didn't play the season?
He didn't play at all.
Still, I mean, most of those sales had to come prior to season once he signed with New York.
Possibly.
Think about how big that was for the Jets fan base.
It was huge.
Don't be surprised by that. Now, I'm not going to let Jay. I never would have guessed Aaron Rodgers, but because he didn't play this year, he's so far out of my mind right now. I never ever would have guessed that at all.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the thing that really, like I said, surprised me was that Aaron Rodgers was even listed, but he is. But yeah, man, what a great list. Very, very interesting. And also to note, Justin Jefferson's jersey, that was the youth jersey that sold. So high, so
well. Hey, I'm not trying to be funny. You know, he's on that one commercial where he and the kids swap bodies. Is it Little Caesars? I can't. It's a commercial where he's the kid and the kid becomes him in the game. I can see that making. I can see that. I can see.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. Parents out here buying Justin Jefferson jerseys for their kids. Craziness.
get them some corrective lenses too,
man. Who?
I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh. Moving into third down. Does the overall fan care about the halftime show?
No. I pose this question to you, Jay, because I just sit back like a fly on the wall and listen to people talk.
Mm-hmm.
And some people that I heard, they just got excited and they talking about the Super Bowl, and everything they were saying had me cracking up because I know these people they're not big football fans, but because they're big Usher fans, all they're talking about is the Usher and watching the Super Bowl. Right. So I think you have to look at what type of fans.
Q, what up? I agree with you. I don't even care about the game as well.
get over it. It's because your Cowboys disappointed. You don't care. Now, you know what? I care about the game just because the player, me. I can't help myself. But to what I was trying to say before I got sidetracked so easily, I think it depends on who you ask. And I think the reason the entertainment has become such a big focus lately is the NFL is trying to pull other pieces in to the NFL bubble and arena to get those numbers up. They want that Nielsen rating higher. They want the numbers to be astronomical. So I think that's why you go out and get somebody like Jay-Z and put them over the entertainment aspect. You're trying to make this a big spectacle in the show. Like, we've always had halftime shows, right? Like, I think we've done a top five halftime show before.
We have.
And it's great and it's cool. But, like, you can take the Allen High School marching band that has 1,000 kids in it and let them perform at the halftime. I'm still going to watch it, and I'm still going to do most of my crap talking and drinking during the halftime.
Yes.
Like, it's not going to matter to me one way or another. Like, if the NFL came in and said, we suspend all stars from performing at halftime, I'm like, oh, that's it. Super Bowl over. I ain't never watching again. I don't care. But you would lose a lot of fan base if that halftime show changed. It wasn't made as big as it is now.
Do you think Jay-Z can quell his beef long enough to allow Taylor Swift to be to do the halftime? Do you think?
You know, because of the Grammy thing, there's a beef between Jay-Z and Taylor Swift. Is it? Is it real beef?
He talked about it at this year's Grammys when he got the Dr. Dre Award.
Yeah, but no lies were told, Jay. How the hell you win? How you win Artist of the Year numerous occasions, but never get How you got the most Grammys ever and don't get an Artist of the Year?
I understand.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, I understand. We always gonna be the talk. We always gonna be the talk, Q. That's just what it's America's team.
Q, you sound like this little buff nerd over here. I hate when there's even Cowboys news that I need to touch up on, because somebody gonna think, I told you, you always gotta talk about the Cowboys. That's what's relevant.
Always,
damn it.
It's always. Always.
Speaking of which, like, and y'all being Cowboys fans, I can see why you hate the 49ers. That's the rivalry with you guys. Like we talked about on the Chop Shop this past weekend. You know, why Q hates Kansas City, I don't know. Like I said, I believe Kansas City is becoming a new villain. People are just loving to hate the Chiefs because they right now seem to be the team that's going to be repeating performances and appearances, not performances, but appearances in the Super Bowl. Now, are they going to win? You know, can they become like the Patriots? Everyone's waiting to see. Everyone wants the dynasty.
Man, Q. Okay, Q coming in with it. Jay's a snake. He threw Kanye under the bus when he spoke up for B. Well, you know. Man, he's a businessman.
A lot of stuff has come out about Jay-Z, amongst other things, with some of the P. Diddy stuff. I don't know what's true and what's not. The man has a platform. He found a way to capitalize on his star.
He did. He did.
Whether I like it or not, or agree with it, he figured out a way to change the game.
So bringing this back to it, right? As far as the Super Bowl halftime, look, all I care about are the commercials, to be honest with you. That's all I care about. I don't care about, you know. And I've been to a Super Bowl. I've seen some people. And it's like, oh, that's cool, but I mean, even the Snoop Dogg and Dre and Mary J. Blige was like, yeah, let me go get something to eat. And it's a pee break as well. So there we go.
It was a good halftime show. Prince was a great halftime show.
Because I like Prince. I think it all comes down to who you like. Beyonce was good, I heard.
I think it depends on who you like and what you're looking for. Even like, I'm gonna say this, the worst halftime performance I saw was the goddamn Weeknd.
Agreed.
I was so like, what the, if you don't get your, and I like the Weeknd as a singer, but that halftime show, I was like, bro, yeah. is this the best that you get on a COVID budget? Because this was bad.
A COVID budget?
Yeah, that was really bad.
But other than that, man, I think a true football fan doesn't care about the halftime show, in my opinion.
No.
The halftime show is mainly to get the women.
For the ladies. In.
There it is.
All for the ladies. It's for the ladies.
This is for the ladies.
Let's go ahead and let's get into that fourth down. 49ers, per the usual, are complaining, but they're complaining about the practice field over at University of Las Vegas. University of Vegas, Nevada, whatever it's called.
It's backwards, bro. UNLV, University of Nevada, Nevada, Las Vegas.
I know you know. It's your favorite school. Do you think this is going to affect them mentally?
If anything that pisses them off, maybe gives them a chip on the show. I saw the article, and it's one of those things like it's fucked up because whenever you play a game, a Super Bowl game, I forget how they do it. One team gets, and I believe it's the home team. One team gets the NFL, whatever. If there's an NFL team in that city, they get the home team's facilities and field to use. Another team gets a college, because people complained in Tampa. You know, in Tampa, you get one buck place.
Yeah.
And then another team goes to the University of South Florida, which is like, yeah. So how you now? I need to know the whole complaint because UNLV just redid their facilities. So, you know, what's some of the complaints
it that the 49ers had? The field was too soft in the sod and you know, really couldn't get footing on it. And, you know, it's because the grass isn't fluffy enough. It's not made of gold, you know, and it doesn't have pixie dust sprinkled all over it.
Not the pixie dust.
I love the fact that Roger Goodell's like, we've had experts go in and check that field. There's nothing wrong with it. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. We've checked the field. We've had experts. And this is the grade that it got.
He's probably not lying. The field probably fine. They just probably bitching because the Raiders facility is 100 times better than what they practice in that.
Man, if you talk about, you know, you get, you know, one buck place in South Florida, University of South Florida, you know, UNLV, there's nothing that's going to compare to that. You might as well just,
Or maybe put both teams at a high school field across the city. That way that shit is fair.
Ooh, that is not fair and not nice.
They take away the complaining.
No, they will complain even more. You know these players are prima donnas, man. They're not
If you came to Texas and practice at a high school facility, this shit's
nice. That's different. That's different.
But every high school ain't a Texas high school facility. You
are true. But most of them, D1 college level type school.
Exactly. It's funny. Nice. You know, it makes me say. It makes you scratch your head, and Jay, you really know what it made me say, don't you?
Press the button.
Oh, hell no! Oh, hell no! Oh, hell no!
Oh, hell no!
Oh, hell no!
Oh, hell no!
Oh, hell no!
That's right, I'm sure that's what the San Francisco 49ers were saying when they saw that field. Oh, hell no! This is the segment of the podcast where we find things throughout the week that make us say, oh, hell nah. Big game, what has caught your eye this past week?
Well, Jay, I was thumbing through Instagram earlier this week.
I love the fact that you said you were thumbing through Instagram.
That's what you do on the phone. You thumb. I mean, well, that's what I do. I usually... I'm thumbing through. So anyway, I'm thumbing through social media, and I see something that says trending.
Yes,
and there's a picture of Mike Vrabel. Let me see what they're talking about. Big Mike Vrabel. See what's going on.
Big Mike.
Mike Vrabel. An anonymous GM came out and said that he believes the reason that Vrabel may not have gotten hired for a head coaching job this year is. that he was frightening in stature, that he towered over people and was intimidating. I said, oh, hell to the no. This shit cannot be real.
Wow.
I hate Anonymous because I want you to stand by it. So to me, really, the GM that said this is probably someone that interviewed Vrabel and was like, this boy scared the shit out of me.
Mama Jamma.
I can't hire him. You know, for those that know, Mike Vrabel played that rush in outside linebacker spot in New England when he played 6'4", about 265.
Yeah. Oof.
But you know how many other big coaches walk through facilities? Former O-line coaches that play in the league, how big they are and walk on the, you know, Mark Colombo is an offensive line coach. He like damn near 6'8". But just hearing that, and if that really is a reason that this man did not get a job, that's an old hell no times 10 because he frightens you. Make him sit down and talk to you and your scary mother lover. Just that don't make no sense at all.
I'm with you on that, man. That's definitely a oh hell no right there. Yeah. So that's all we got. I had one, man. You know, look, who's the OC of Detroit? What's his name? He's got a very simple name. Can't remember his name.
It's not Ben Johnson.
Yes.
Ben Johnson.
Here's mine, man. I said I didn't have one, but I thought about it. I read about it today. And it came up where apparently Ben Johnson told the Commanders on their flight to him to interview him for the job, you know what? I'm good. I don't want to interview. On the flight to Detroit, ownership is on their way to Detroit to interview him and Aaron Glenn, but him specifically. He calls him and says, nah, I'm good. I don't want to interview.
What's wrong with that? At least he had the courtesy to tell him.
Bro, take the interview. See what the experience is like.
Amen.
And just say, hey, and I love what Schefter said, and Schefter is the one that broke this, right? He says, look, sit down, have the interview, and at the end of it, say, you know what? Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time to come see me.
Right.
But I'm good here in Detroit. I get what you're saying. Hey, look, I already know. Let me just, but if I have to think you already knew that before they confirmed and say, hey, we're on our way to come see you. We're flying in from DC.
I see what you're saying on that, Jay. And I didn't think about that at first. The shit is funny though, dog. Like, you let me get in the air as soon as I touch down. You know what? I don't want to do this no more. It's a professional way to do it, and it's a way you need to handle yourself and the way you need to do things. They didn't really think, Ben, he didn't really think that through on how he should handle it. No. Because this is my thing. No one's gonna be mad at you if you don't want to take the job because it's Washington.
Right.
But I feel what Stiles is saying. You take the interview, you get the interview experience from a head coaching standpoint, and then if you know you don't want it, you don't take it, and you apply those skills you learn from that interview to a better job next season.
There you go. If you like, hey, you know what? This doesn't feel right. I'm not ready. Cool. But don't wait till I'm in the air. Don't call me and say, can you come pick me up? And I'm 5 minutes away. You're like, oh, I got a ride. I'm almost home. You know what? You're not going out no more. You ain't going out no more.
That's liable to be a fight. That's liable to be a fight, man. I feel you on that now.
Hey, don't be home when I get home. Don't be home when I get home.
Bro, that's
the
that's shady as hell.
That's don't be shady. Home when I get home. Don't be there. Because if you're there.
Yeah, you remember that? Don't you be home when I get home. Like, something bad gonna happen. I might need to leave. For real. I'm trying to live to tell about it the next day. Let me get my ass out this house.
Don't be home when I get home. Boy, if y'all ever hear that, it's bad stuff. Bad stuff about to happen.
It's about to hit the fan all the way.
Man, let's go ahead and let's get into this. What we doing? Who you got? Or between the lines?
Let's go who you got real quick.
Let's do it. Final game of the year. Listen. I think you already know who I got. Nobody. I don't want nobody to win. I want it to be a draw. Nobody gets rings. No one lifts the trophy. Everyone goes home.
Come on, Jay Stocks. You can't bring your ass on here talking about you ain't got nobody.
I got nobody.
You have to have a who's going to win the game. Not going to be a tie. So
you know what? Not to politicize it, but that's what they did in Nevada. In the Republican Party, it was like, no candidate. We vote no candidate.
Yeah, but they also got two ballots now. Don't bring that man gone with that bullshit, man. Hey, dog. Go on with that, man. I saw that too, and I was like, if they don't get out of here with that bull, bro. I said this several times, Jay, and we said this on last week's show. And every time I picked against Pat Mahomes, he's proved me wrong.
Man.
It's hard to pick against him. I told my son, I said, man, I'm going to quit hating on your team. I'm going to quit hating on your boy. And I'm going to ride with you. I'm gonna pull for the Chiefs. But still something inside of me thinks that San Francisco can get the dub, bro. Like,
I think Shanahan has learned from his mistakes.
I think so, too. I don't think that they'll play as bad as they did against Detroit or Green Bay.
I don't think so, either. I think and I also believe the game that they had against the Chiefs that started it off in Miami, I think that game has been with him up to this point. Mm-hmm. And he will do differently and do his due diligence. I think he's going to say, you know what? I'm going to run the ball. And you're going to have to stop the run. And as I stated last week or week before last, when we talked about Baltimore, who just decided to crap the bed and say, you know what? We're only going to have 10 scripted runs against a number 18 run defense. Run the ball.
True that.
You've got good running back, great running backs. Run the ball. I think that's what he does. I think he comes out on top. I think this is a year that you know, they don't do it as far as the Chiefs. The Chiefs won't have that magic. I love the defense, but, yeah, it's a done deal.
So Jay Stock straight up said San Francisco. I feel like I kind of beat around the bush.
You did. You did.
It's hard for me to pick against Mahomes, but I also feel like it's hard for me to be wrong three times in a row. So, therefore, I'm still going to go ahead and tip my hat to the and think that the 49ers find a way to pull it out. I think they'll be better prepared this game.
I think so, too, and I think Shanahan is a lot better prepared, more prepared for this game, for the flow, and for what he wants to do, and not go away from what he has done in the past to get him there. So, yeah, right. Definitely down for that. Cool. So now we can get into Between the Lines. What you got for that, man? We're going to do the thing. You're going to hit the button for Between the Lines. I love you, man. It's like, boop.
Yeah, I'm gonna hit the button, damn it. If you had to ask, I mean, you thought I should hit it faster. So there you go.
Press the tail button. Go ahead.
I know we didn't talk about this last week when we said we were.
Mm.
Before we get into the nuts and bolts and anything else, about some of the things going on in the NFL.
Mm.
Bruh, Did you watch any of the Pro Bowl stuff?
Yes.
You said that like you're excited about it.
Are you not? Were you not excited?
Does this face look like a guy that was excited to watch that? Bro, now, I was excited for my guy, Baker Mayfield.
I mean, okay, yeah, that was, it was cool. It was cool for that. I thoroughly enjoyed the Pro Bowl.
Okay.
Did it
surprise you? Are you surprised? Did you surprise yourself by enjoying it?
No, I think I'm glad they went away from the gimmicky stuff and went more into skills, right?
What was the gimmicky part for you?
Like they had the one where they like jumped through a table, like wrestling.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's stupid. Don't do that. You know, but the passing contest was great. I'm going to tell you one that I really, really enjoyed. I liked the kick-tack-toe. That was pretty cool. But the one I really enjoyed, besides the flag football, and it was kind of neat to see the girls play flag football as well. They had their championship, you know. I don't remember who won. I had to leave. But it was cool to see that. But it was the move the chains. It was the linemen. The tug of war, it wasn't tug of war, but that move the chains deal.
Yeah.
That was a great comp. I was like, oh, I know Game is watching this. This is right. This is him right here.
I'm not gonna lie, I missed it, bro. I missed that. I'm about to go back and check it out. I'm sorry, Jay. I did. And let me say this, dog. One of my dreams and goals once I got drafted was I wanted to be able to become a starter and be good enough to go to a Pro Bowl. Because that was like the mecca and the pinnacle, right?
Sure.
But I think the player in me, for what the Pro Bowl used to be and what you wanted to do, what you wanted to strive for to play, I think it makes me feel different about the game. Now, I'm not going to take away from the, you know, it is better than doing something like this because that half-ass effort we were getting on the field, it was too atrocious to watch. So I understand why it was changed. But it's also hard for me to just get into, man. Like, it's not that it's even a bad thing. It's just my brain is old school. Like, I can watch NBA guys play their all-star game. I can watch baseball guys play their all-star game. Mm-hmm. I got to watch NFL guys go out there and do a skills competition, which is safer and a little bit more competitive and fun, a little bit more fun lately.
Yeah.
But it's just hard to fathom that, dog. For me, it just is. And it's not a bad thing. It's just your boy just like – I'm up there like this, like –
I mean, so when you talk about like MLB had to change some things for their all-star because people were half-assing out there as well.
Right. And, yeah, that's why they did the home field advantage thing or whatever.
Home field advantage. So I was like, hey, there you go. For NBA, it was the same thing. Nobody was playing defense. The scores were like 173 to like 162.
Right.
You know, and you'd watch the three-pointers, and then you'd watch the dunk contest. But most people in the dunk contest, you don't even know who they are.
They're like, nowadays?
Yeah. They're like the 7, 9, 10, 11 guy on the bench. Like, who the hell is this?
The NBA is going to have to fix this because they're going to lose some fans, I think, over this in the long run.
Oh, man. But absolutely. But
that's just me.
No, they absolutely are. But I think that's why the NFL, I'm glad they went away from the gimmicky stuff and they went to skill because now, thank you, now you can actually, like you talk crap like, hey, did you see my quarterback and did you see what they did? Right. And I can brag about, you know, Baker Mayfield being a good quarterback. I can show you, hey, in the skills competition, he was able to hit these many targets and do this in the game and do that in the game. And he deserves to be an all pro pro bowler because of this. And participation, like the dodgeball, that was cool to me because again, they're doing something.
I did see dodgeball. It was cool. Like Jay, I think they got it right for what they have to do. Like I said, this shit is straight personal for me, dog. That's all it is. And it's like,
yeah,
I never played, but I know what guys used to talk about going over there and what it took and getting there and what it meant to play in that game when it was in Hawaii.
Right.
It ain't falling off. The NFL had to try to find a way to save it. So for the most part, you know, I tip my hat to that PR department, that staff, whoever came up with everything and where they're doing it, because it's still an honor. These dudes may not be going over and playing in a game in Hawaii or playing a real football game, but to know that you got the ultimate accolade says a lot, and it's fun. So I'm not mad at it at all, bro. I'm not mad at all.
Yeah. I mean, at your position, you are the best for that year, right? And that's voted on by, you know, different people, but
writers, your peers, and everybody, yeah.
Yeah, and fans, I think what it does is it, and I like the fact that it's in one place every year. You know, it's in Orlando, so there's other things you can do, but it's one place every year. And if you want to go to this, then you can, instead of having to try and travel with the Super Bowl, which is a week later, and it's like, well, I guess, you know. So, but I really enjoyed it. I think they're on to something. You know, even the catching the punts, that was cool.
It's cool. It's different.
It's different. Yeah.
Hey, you're frozen on my end, and God only knows what your hands look like.
That's you on mine, brother. You're frozen to me.
It's probably my computer. I'm gonna throw it away after the show.
Oh, that's good. You probably want to upgrade as well, man. Hey, they came and changed my fiber. I am now 100%. I love it. It's fantastic.
I don't even know how the lines run in my neighborhood, to tell you the truth. I think it's still buried cable.
It might be, brother. It might be if you're on that spectrum, man. But hey, it's time for the top five, though. Can you unfreeze the top five?
I think you're going to have to hit that intro, Jay. I can't scroll and play anything, so go ahead and hit it.
I got you, man.
Hey, all right.
Watch what I do. Now I got to find it, though. But I got it, man. It's all. Oh, I got it. I got it. There it is. Let's do it. Top five.
Even when you feel low, you can still go. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man. I still go. Go.
That's right. Some people have a top 100. Some have a top 50. Some have a top 25. Some even punk out and have a top 10 list. But not here at Big Game Sports Buzz. No, no, no. We have a top five. Who's in? Who's out? What's in? What's out? This week, top five Super Bowl moments. Listen, this is a hard list to try to think back on all those moments, those Super Bowl moments that have happened. What number is this? Do you know? Are you still there? What number is this?
Yeah, I'm here. What number is?
Was this Super Bowl 58.
Super Bowl 58. And I'm getting confused with the Roman numerals now, bro. I'm not gonna lie to you. XLVIII, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but it's Super Bowl 58 this year, man.
Super Bowl 58,
which is cool. And you know, the Buff Nerd comes up with these top fives most of the time. Every now and then he'll let me sneak one in, and I was like, oh yeah, that's cool. Or we can do this one. Oh yeah, that's cool. And you go, all right, all right, let's do this. All right. And you should go and sit down and get a pad out and start writing stuff down and thinking like, I hate the Buff Nerd. This is so damn hard. Like, I don't know what is going on, how I can fix this
to be
up to par, because Jay, 58 Super Bowls, and we're finding five of the biggest moments in Super Bowl history.
Moments, not Super Bowls, moments within those Super Bowls. It's tough, but you can do it. I know you can. I have every faith in you.
I mean, I have my five here. I don't know how it's going to go over with everybody. I don't know where it's going to rank compared to yours. But all these, you know, being a former football player and a football fan, I know that these are big moments, man, in Super Bowl history. So, you know, I'm just going to lay it out there. Hey, I think I'm back. Let me see if I can turn my camera back on. Oh, yeah, Big Game's not frozen anymore. All right.
Hey.
A little ugly looking, but he's not frozen.
Well, that part.
Anyway. It is. set it up. I set it up for that to happen. That's my fault.
Yeah.
That is Big Game's fault. Anyway, lo and behold, here's my top five, Jay. The Patriots 23 point comeback versus the Atlanta Falcons.
Yes, sir.
I just think that's no matter what, and that might have been one of the one times I'm cheering for the Falcons, wanted the good things to happen for them, and boom, they blew it. They couldn't get it done. Yeah. James Harrison, 99-yard interception return versus Arizona before the half in that game. Big, huge momentum swing. The Steelers go on to win that game. That was a great Super Bowl, and I was really hoping that Larry Fitzgerald could pull one out to get him a ring, but it didn't go down, man. But that was a big one for me. This one here, and this might break your heart. The Philly special, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl that year, Nick Foles gets the throwback pass from tight end Trey Burton. It was a great play. Just the name of it, the home momentum. They end up winning that year. I think you got to, you know, just Philly. The Philly special was a big moment, I think, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Malcolm Butler's pick of Russell Wilson on the goal line, Pats versus Seahawks. Seahawks are on the verge of going back-to-back Super Bowls. All he had to do to give the ball to Marshawn Lynch. They decided to get creative. Malcolm Butler made a great play, jumped the ball, got an interception, and damn, that changed history. This last one, this play still blows my mind. I still don't know how this catch was ever made. It goes down as one of the all-time greatest catches in the Super Bowl, I think. David Tyree, the helmet catch. The Giants versus the Patriots. They ruined the Patriots' perfect season. David Tyree goes up and makes one hell of a catch, puts the ball on his head. All the little Saturday Night Live skits came after that, but that was the big one to me, man, right there.
Yeah.
So David Tyree helmet catch. And that's my top five, dog.
Man, that's good. Look, I'm glad I wrote extra. Because I'm kind of with you on that, on some of those, right? The Patriots come back, Malcolm Butler interception, great moments. But here's mine. Chris Stapleton singing the national anthem. Listen, say what you want to, and I know there are others that will say that, you know, Whitney Houston, she did it. But he making grown men cry. So did Whitney, but he making grown men cry. That was one for me. I absolutely loved it.
Okay.
My car to this day. Dallas fans know this well as the Buffalo people. Don Beebe knocking the ball out of Leon Lett's hands, man. Just celebrating too early. Oh, gosh. And the game was out of hand. It didn't mean anything, but it did mean something to the Bills and to people that watch football.
Right, right.
Okay, okay. Hey, okay.
That's a real good one.
Never give up. Never give up. That was something else. The goal line stand that San Francisco had against Icky Woods.
Oh. That was a great Super Bowl, man.
Oh, listen. Here's the deal about that play and really that moment. Four downs straight up the middle with Icky Woods, who no one could stop him, right? And this was when Icky Woods shuffle was like a big, big thing. San Francisco stuffed him four times. Four times. Did not score. Ended up winning the game. And then finally, listen, I was in Japan at the time serving this country. And I think it was around 2 or 3 o'clock when the Super Bowl came on. And we talked about halftime shows. When I saw Janet Jackson's titty, I said, oh, this is the greatest Super Bowl halftime show I've ever seen in my life. It was fantastic because they didn't bleep it out.
Oh man, they couldn't. It was live, dog.
It was Janet, live,
Janet Jackson changed the way that live Super Bowls are done now. They put it on a forced delay just in case some shit happened again. That was a good one, Jay. That was a great one. And I was about to put that down there. Like, I was about to put that in the top Super Bowl moment. Cause like, I was like, what is that sun on her nipple? What is that? And then, then all the close ups and then the zoom ins came later. You're like, oh, Janet. Okay, Janet.
Oh, okay, she's freaky. She's freaking out. See, you're freak.
Yes, sir. Boy, you know that is.
You know what it is. You know what it is. Hey, I am Jay Stoggs, the Buff Nerd.
And I'm your boy, Big Game James. Thank y'all for tuning in. And until next time, hey, we might be on a 2-week hiatus. We're going to see if I can find somebody to come on with me to get it done, or we might just chill for a couple weeks, man, and we will let y'all know. But, hey, if this is your first time, please make sure that you like, subscribe, smash that bell so you know that every time we're dropping brand new content. For the Buff Nerd, I'm Big Game James. Until next time, peace.
Yeah. It's a big game. Who you know that got it behind the scenes like behind the O-line soon as the QB say hype? It's big game, 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 big game, game, game. Analysis from the player's point of view. Injuries, big trades, player news. Yeah. Set the competition any play with Tony Dungy. Better listen. I'm